beginning of Parshas Vayishlach, we read the way Yaakov Avinu was coming back from Chutz Loretz to Eretz Yisrael, and he carried all of his luggage across the river, and he took across his 11 children. So Rashi quotes from the Bereishis Rabbah that true Binyamin wasn't born yet. He didn't have 12 sons, but he had a daughter, Dina. Where was Dina? Hechen Haisa, where was Dina? So Rashi quotes the famous Medrash that Yaakov Avinu was afraid that if his brother Esav would see Dina, he would want to marry her. Apparently she was good looking, and he didn't want his daughter to marry this guy. He wanted his daughter to get a better shidduch. So the Medrash says that because he was a little overcautious, that's why he fell in. And not only did she not get such a knack in the geshidduch, she was attacked by Shechem ben Hamor. That if a person is overcautious, sometimes he'll fall in, and just the hepach will happen. The Mesillas Yesharim has such an expression when he talks about the inyan of zahirus, about being careful. So he says, the inyan of zahirus, part of zahirus requires shelo lizahir yosem midai, not to be overcautious. Sometimes parents are overprotective of the children, and it has a negative effect. Everything has to be with a proper balance. Sometimes if parents are extremely cautious about raising their children, so they say college is treif, and the goyim have nothing to offer, and there's no chokhmah in the outside world, and then the child is exposed to college and he sees there are some interesting things there, so he will totally reject his whole tradition, everything else that his parents said. They'll think that everything is a sheker. A person has to be careful not to exaggerate. There's an issur to train oneself in sheker. You have to be medaktik and emes, and exaggeration is also a part of sheker. So if a person exaggerates, it's also an aspect of sheker. The Gemara tells us, not only is this an aspect of sheker, the Gemara tells us that there are three things that we shouldn't be doicha completely. The Gemara says isha, and tinok, and yetzer hara. Let's say a wife wants to spend time with her husband. So the husband is such a tzaddik and such a parish and such a chassid, he has no time for his wife. He has no time for his wife. It may have a negative effect, so she'll run around with someone else. She'll find herself another man who will give her entertainment. Or her children. Children want to play with their parents. So the father has no time to play with his child. He has no time for these narish cats. So the Gemara says you have to waste a little time with the children. And the Yetzirah also, if you're going to reject the Yetzirah totally and not give in to anything the Yetzirah wants, not talking not to give in bavera. There's some things that are beheter that also come from the Yetzirah. So you can't reject totally. The Gemara says you have to have small doicha v'min mikarevis. You can't be totally doicha. If you'll be doicha everything in Gansen, so it may have a negative effect on the person. I remember Rabbi Yankov Kamenetsky told the story that on one occasion Rabbi Baruch Be'er had a shaila that some person who was not a Shem Shabbos, who had earned a lot of money by being a Mechal Shabbos, wanted to make a major donation to his yeshiva. So Baruch Be'er was concerned maybe he shouldn't accept the money. The money wasn't outright from Chil Shabbos, but Rabbi Baruch Be'er was choshish, maybe it's not proper to take the money from the Mechal Shabbos. So Rabbi Baruch Be'er didn't know what to do. It was a major significant donation. So he went to ask Rabbi Chaim, his Rebbe. So when he asked Rabbi Chaim, he came back to the yeshiva and he told the Talmidim that Rabbi Chaim had quoted to him the pasuk in Koheles that says, Al-Pir Tzedak Harbi, Al-Pir Sha Harbi. You shouldn't be too frum, and you shouldn't be too evil, you shouldn't be too wicked. So Rabbi Chaim told him that he should take the money, you shouldn't be so frum. But when Rabbi Chaim told him the pasuk, so he was waving his finger, he said, Al-Pir Tzedak Harbi, Al-Pir Sha Harbi. So Rabbi Chaim was very medayik about everything that he heard from Rabbi Chaim. So he said he noticed that the degree of the angle, the way the finger waved this way, was the same degree that it waved that way. So he was medayik from the Rebbe's finger. That is the same degree of an avera, the same mas avera. If a person is al tizdak harbi, he exaggerates too much in one direction, is the same mas avera, the same degree of an avera as al tirsha harbi. When we learn halacha, we have to be careful to figure out what's a din deraisa, what's a din derabbanan, what's a minik. We shouldn't make a minik a tafel and a tafel iker. We're talking about people, the religious orthodox people are observing all the mitzvahs, but you have to keep everything in proper perspective. You don't make Zionism the most important mitzvah. Zionism is also for the mitzvahs. It's also a very important mitzvah. But Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMishpacha maybe are more important. You shouldn't, when it comes, if it's impossible to observe everything and you have to, something has to go, So you don't throw Shabbos out. You don't throw Taras HaMishpacha out. You throw out the Zionism. If it's a toss-up between Zionism and Shabbos, so Shabbos should win. Shabbos is a little more important than Zionism. You have to keep everything in proper perspective. Pascal writes such an idea in his book of thoughts. He writes that people may have a complaint that every idea that I have in my book, he wrote a book on philosophy, so they may complain every idea that I have, Steitschein, every idea says already in earlier books on philosophy. So he says you can have the same complaint against the poet who writes poetry, every word that he uses in the poem says in the dictionary. So what was he mechadesh? The answer is no, but he put the words in a certain position. If you put the words in this position, it means one thing. Put the words in a different position, it means another thing. Like it says, when you play ping pong or tennis, I forgot which one, the whole ikir is the position of the ball. When you got the ball over there, the ball over here, it's the same racket, the same ball, but the position is very crucial. So he says, the same is true, let's say, all the philosophers who came before me said every single idea that I said. Let's say, for argument's sake, I'll say there's 613 ideas. They all said the same ideas that I said. But which is the ikar, which is the tuffel, which is the klal, and which is the yetzim and a klal? You have a hierarchy of all the ideas. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, "Reserving mitzvah kala kavachamur sheina teyadeh matan schorish hamitzvah." You have to be careful to be mekayim all the mitzvahs. You have to be medaktik in all the mitzvahs. But it doesn't mean that all the mitzvahs are equally important. The Gemara has long sugyas. The Gemara has discussions which aveir is mochamana which mitzvah is mochamana which, and sometimes the chapsan afkemina. When there's a conflict, when there's a stira, you can't observe both. There is a hierarchy in mitzvahs and averus, and we have to part of Talmud Torah to try to figure out that hierarchy. And if a person is going to be exaggerating, he's going to exaggerate the importance of something. He's going to over-exaggerate the nadan chumas and chum. If he's machra and everything equally is okay, but if he piles on all the chumas over here, everything is going to be off balance. Everything is going to be off kilter. Sometimes people place so much emphasis on minhagim, so they lose total perspective of the whole picture. I remember when I was a student here in the college, one of the readings that we had in I don't know, modern Jewish philosophy, whatever it was by Franz Rosenzweig. Rosenzweig, I think, was a Baal Tshuva. He didn't have a background in learning. So he made a whole ganze Torah about the Magen David, the six-pointed star of David. Magen David, Agan Seter, what does the point on top represent? What does the point on the bottom represent? The other here, any Gemaris, any Tesis. But the Magen David is nothing. Magen David is not specifically a Jewish symbol. For many years, we put the Magen David on the Parochas, on the Israeli flag, but it doesn't have any role at all. To make the Yukin and Tilfulim about what each one of the points represents is nothing, nothing with nothing. Totally out of perspective. You have to have everything in proper perspective. The Gemara tells in Maseches Sanhedrin about Adam Harishon, that when he told over to his wife that she shouldn't eat from the Eitz Hadas, so he threw in a little Chumrah Agzeira that she shouldn't even touch the tree, she shouldn't even touch the Eitz Hadas. But he didn't tell her that that was his Hosofer. He told her as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you touch the tree, you're going to drop dead on the spot. Then she touched the tree, the Nachash pushed her, she touched the tree, she didn't drop dead, the bolt of lightning didn't come down from heaven. So she thought that just like that was Sheker, so to everything he said over from the Rabbi Shlomo Sheker. And that's what led it to violate the Aveir. So the Gemara points out that sometimes the Gemara says that the word Shtei Esrei means 12, Ashtei Esrei means 11. Sometimes Kol HaMoisiv Gareya. You add on an ayin, the Gemara says, you add on an ayin at the beginning of the word Shtei Esrei, so it becomes Ashtei Esrei, so sometimes Kol HaMoisiv Gareya. You throw everything out of perspective, so you've engansen sedreit everything. I remember at the funeral of Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, so one of the maspidim was Rabbi Nissen Alpert, who used to be a very close comrade of Rabbi Moshe. Was in the late years, he was a Rebbe. He was a Rebbe in Tiferes Yerushalayim for many years, then he was a Rebbe here in the yeshiva. So one of the themes that he brought out was that he met different Rabbanim in his lifetime, different Talmidei Chachamim. So some of them were very strong in Midotam Lachaveira, not so strong in Midotam Lachaveira. Some were very strong in Midotam Lachaveira, not so strong in Midotam Lachaveira. Some were strong in Oshim and Ezekiel, and not so strong in Kachim. Others were strong in Kachim, not so strong in Arachayim. Some were strong in Arachayim. So he says that it always reminded him, there's in the list of the Balimumim that it has in Chumash, that a Kohen who's a Balimum is possible to do Avodah in the Beis Hamikdash. So one of the Balimumim is Sarua. Sarua means, if you have the two limbs that are supposed to be symmetrical, the two eyes and the two nostrils and the two arms and the two lips and everything, and one arm is longer than the other, if the both arms would have been long, would have been short, would have been fat, would have been skinny, sure. So that's what he looks like. But if one is, if the two matching limbs are asymmetrical, that's called a balmum. So he said, he used to look at different rabbanim, he used to see that they're all sarua. This one is a little too strong in this area. He's too strong in this area. Rav Moshe, to him, was evenly spread out. He was medaktik on Ben Adam Lamakim, Ben Adam Chaver, Arachayim, Yeredeya, Choshe Mishpat, Evenezer. He was strong in Kachim, and Paris, and Nashim, and Ezekin, and everything. A person has to make sure that he's balanced. He shouldn't be a sarua. In raising children, it's much easier to... It's very hard to explain to children, dak is dik and chilukim. So if you just describe the world as being black and white, and everything is black, we're not allowed to do this, that's awesome. This is mutter and that's awesome. So that's a very easy way. It's very easy for us to live like that. It's much easier. And it's easier to train your children like that. This is awesome. Everything that's not my way. You don't want your children to become chassidim, but the chassidim don't want their children to become snagdim. Or Lubavitch is afraid that children will become satna. Satna is afraid, chalila, that children will become Lubavitch. So each one is afraid. So he said, that's also. That's an averi, not allowed to do that. So it's very easy to be mechanach. Your children say everything is black. But that's a sheker. It's not so. It's very hard to be mechanach. You have to explain to the children, this is black, and this is white, and this is gray. And in the gray area, a two-year-old child, of course, won't understand. And all the children, it's also hard to explain to. But it's difficult to be mechanech, but that's part of the difficulty in being mechanech. Otherwise, you're mechanech the child in sheker. Not allowed to be mechanech the child in sheker. Just recently, a prominent figure passed away in Eretz Yisrael. I think his name was Rav Shlomo Min Hahar. So I think he was Makuriv of Rav Kook's style of thinking. And he has a son who's a Rosh HaKol by the Neturi character. And there's Shorn. So how did that happen? Hechi tochen. So obviously the father wasn't insistent on being mechanech, his son has to be my way. He taught him there's a gray area and this is the more correct approach. So the son took a different approach within the area of the gray area. So he took a different approach which was very different from the father's. The character of Cook's a little different. So the son delivered a hesped when the father passed away just about a month ago, I think. So I was married to son and told me over what he said in the hesped. It happened to be the Parshas HaShavua. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu said about Avraham Avinu ki yidaitiv, I love him. Because Avraham Avinu trains his children aleches b'derech Hashem to go in the ways of Hashem. So he said about his father, my father fulfilled what it says about Avraham Avinu. He trained his children aleches b'derech Hashem to go in the ways of Hashem. Not aleches b'derechai, not to go in my ways. There are other drachim also. As long as he's a firm yid, as long as he's an alech yid. That's a little extreme. That's a little comical in that case. Such a difference, but that's the way it should be. We shouldn't in training talmidim or in training children. You have to be careful not to exaggerate. If you exaggerate, see, training them in sheker, which is not proper. Everything has to be with a balance and with a proper perspective, and you have to explain that there's a gray area, and this is what we have a tradition. This is the preferred mahalach. A lot of times you have in the Balei HaTesis a strain of the Hasidi Ashkenaz that Tesis quotes in the later Balei HaTesis, the Rekeach. In the Shulchan Aruch you have it in every other page in the Shulchan Aruch. There's an idea, HaMachmer Tova Ola Bracha. If a person will be Machmer, so it's better, it's a wonderful thing. Yeah. It depends, sometimes yes, sometimes no. Sometimes the person is Machmer, it looks ridiculous. Sometimes it's totally out of perspective. What about everything else that he does? How does he lead the rest of his life? What is Miachmer over here? What about the other things he's not even keeping? And all of a sudden over here is very Machmer. He's going to be a Sarua. And this he's barely observing. And this thing is extremely Machmer. So it's not always the case. The Balei HaTesis were Machmer evenly on everything. Sometimes it's not proper. The Mishnayos have discussions. Sometimes it's forbidden to be machmer on something that's mutter. Sometimes the Tanoim talk about mechzik yuhara. I remember once there was a boy who was learning in the Kailo. He was a balshuv and his wife was a gioris. I think his father was a colonel in the army or something like that. Not religious at all. So he was a balshuv. This was from years ago. And He used to do all kinds of midas chassidus, and he lived here in the neighborhood. So one of the rabbanim in the neighborhood told me that he has a certain chumrah, and he told him that he doesn't think it's right, and he should ask the rabbanim in the yeshiva. He should ask the rabbanim in the yeshiva what they think. So this rabbi from the neighborhood told me he may come to ask me, so I should formulate an opinion on the matter. So the boy came and he asked me, what do I say about this Midas Chassidus does he have? That Rabbi Plowin, the Rabbi so-and-so told him that it's Mechzik Yuhara. So I said that they tell the story. I didn't want to bop him over the head. So I said they tell the story about this person who asked his Rebbe about a certain practice. Is it Mechzik Yuhara? So the Rebbe said he doesn't think that it's Mechzik Yuhara. He thinks that it's Yuhara Mamish. So he didn't get. He didn't understand what I meant. He continued the practice. I didn't want to be too explicit. So I wasn't explicit. You have to crack his head open and put it in. I didn't say explicitly that it's improper, so he didn't get the hint. How much more of a hint do you have to give? He didn't get the hint. He continued. He got divorced from his wife. His whole life was ridiculous. Everything was off balance. Everything was tzedreit. Everything is tzedreit. The person, the Torah doesn't want mishugoyim. The Rebbe Shlomo wants normal people. Rather, someone came to me the other day, so he said he remembers hearing me speak many years ago on some occasion. I was talking about if a couple gets divorced, who gets custody of the children. So the Gemara has all the details, who has the custody. So the commentaries on Shulchan Aruch, and as they say, the rule is whatever's in the best interest of the children. It's not a matter, the father has the right, the mother has the right, the parents don't have right. The parents have no rights. Parents have obligations. Parents have no rights. They have kibbut aviyim. Okay, that's the right. But they have no rights to custody over the children. The halacha is who has the obligation to raise the children, not who has the right to have the children. So the klal is whatever is in the best interest of the children. So the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch quotes up until six is like this, and after six is like that, on the assumption that this is in the best interest of the children. But sometimes we can assess the situation and ascertain that it's just not so, that in the best interest of the children is otherwise. So apparently this person tells me, I was giving a mashal, or someone had asked this question, a couple gets divorced because the husband is not religious at all, the wife is extremely religious, but she's a psychotic, she's a mishugana. So she's going to raise the children, they're going to be crazy. It's clear the children are going to be brought up crazy, but they'll be religious crazy. Not Meshuggah film, they'll be crazy and they'll be religious. And if they'll be brought up by the father, they'll be normal, but they'll be secular. So someone apparently asked me a question in a public forum, well, what would I say in such a case? I said, the main thing is they should be normal. First you have to raise normal people, then after having normal, they have to be normal human beings. Then after they're normal, then we work on them that they should be religious. But to raise a child should be religious and crazy? So that's not seichel. The main thing is the person has to first be balanced, and then observe the mitzvahs in a balanced fashion. So exaggerations are sheker, and unbalanced activities are sheker, and mishigasen are sheker. Everything is sheker. The Gemara says from all the midas that we have to imitate the midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu after bedrachav. So Chazal have an expression, Chosamu shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu emes. Once a message came down from heaven on a piece of paper, and it was signed emes. So the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah understood Chosamu shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu emes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu signed it, and that's his signature. So the Chazon Ish explained, that's the main, from all the midas, there's one main mida, the mida of emes. The mida of emes requires, a person shouldn't exaggerate, shouldn't, it's very important. New shailas come up all the time, every day, the world keeps on changing. If a person is going to go with exaggerations, oh, this is absolutely awesome, we stay a million miles away from that, so new shailas is going to come up, he may not realize, but his machmer over there may come out to be a kula over here. You have to always keep in mind, what's the Iker Adin? What's the Din Deraisa? What's the Din Derabanan? What's a local Minig? What's a Minig B'chog? B'chog Tzvutz is Israel. You have to keep in mind, just this week we were discussing a Din. We were learning for the Mishnah Berurah B'china today. So we were discussing the Din that one who rips Kriya is not permitted to eat Basav Yayin. Someone who visits the Kaisal Amarabi rips Kriya, so he's not permitted to eat Basav Yayin Kolos Ayom. The Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Kafter of Pharaoh. So Shlomo Zalman analyzed this din, and he came to the conclusion that that's only a chumrah. The din that one who rips kriya for a relative is not permitted to eat basav yayin, that's a din, that's a mishnah. The einan is also the basav yayin, but one who rips kriya by the kosel of Arabi, that's a different din. Shlomo Zalman said, that's not mikra din, that's only mishnah. What's the difference between this chassidah? So he said, let's say you're going to a chasana, or you're going to a siyum or something, and you're going to serve fleishik. So you just rip kriya, you're not going to have basav yayin. No, but this is a sudas mitzvah, so when you have a conflict between a makam mitzvah and a minig, so the makam mitzvah takes precedence. You always have to analyze every case. You have to analyze all the halachas. That's what we're here in the yeshiva for. You have to analyze all the halachas, figure out everything that we do in our daily routine. What's a din deraisa, what's a din derabbanan, what's a minig, and what takes precedence over what, in order to know how to apply all the dinim. We live in changing times, so it's more important to know exactly what the ikar din is. Okay? That's what we're all here to learn in yeshiva. Should all be matzliach on learning.